now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a Football Friday in the loop, and Sean Pendergast has once again deduced who is on the show.
Yeah.
It is John Lopez, myself, Reginald Attitude, and Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig, a triumphant Figgy Fig who is doing a very adult thing.
Yes.
Moving into his new home.
Yes,
and
he
so,
is.
And so send all the love that you possibly can to our man who is
thoughts
battling.
And prayers.
He is battling through one of the worst days of adulthood, which is moving.
Yeah. You will hear that again.
You will absolutely hear that again. But while he is doing that, he assured me that he'll be tapping in with the show as well.
Okay.
Because you got to
on that Odyssey
Friday.
App.
On that Odyssey app, you can also do it on the YouTube.
Or that's, maybe his refrigerator.
Yeah, the new fancy refrigerator.
Yeah.
He might put the YouTube on there as yeah. I wake up, and as soon as I wake up, I put my phone on, listen to Payne and Pendergast on the YouTube. That is Sports Radio 610. There's 610 Houston on Twitch, also where you can get at us. But always, always, always text in and let us know what you're thinking on the text line, 713-572-4610. Let's get this thing popping. Can the Texans win a shootout? Because
yeah.
I think we're getting to a place where in evaluating what this game looks like, as we will do all the way through the show and mm-hmm. we'll continue all the way through the day on Sports Radio 610, the possibility of a shootout is very evident. You got a couple of big-time quarterbacks. In a year where quarterbacking has been down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
these guys have been very good. I think you have 12 touchdowns in the last four games on the other side when it comes to Jordan Love. Like, throwing the football a lot. And, I mean, we already know here
yeah.
how much of the load that C.J. Stroud has carried with this offense. Is it possible and is it likely, in fact, that this ends up being a shootout? And if so, are the Texans a game for that type of game?
It's going to be a shootout. In fact, I haven't bet on the Texans all year long. I am betting on the over, and it's
Ooh.
A pretty big over, 47 and a half, I believe.
Wait, hold on, before you do this.
Yeah.
What are your bona fides as gambling man, as better man? Because this is the thing. I mm-hmm. love the people that are like, this is my lock or what have you, no shade to Team Mill, because Team Mill gets some wins, right?
Yeah,
he
does.
He moves some units, as they like to say. But with that being the case, I want to know your bona fides before we start listening
I've
to your
I've got two this
advice.
Week,
okay.
and I'm going to dig in for more. Jets. Jets are going to cover 2.5 at Pittsburgh. As good a coach as Mike Tomlin is, I think it's going to be a bleep show.
Okay.
And Russell Wilson's going to crash and burn, and players are already saying they wish that the decision hadn't happened. I like that, and I like the over. I think it's going to be a shootout.
Those seem reasonable.
I think it's going to be a shootout.
I also
in
don't
Green
know
Bay.
Things, though. So.
It's okay, but I appreciate the support. Look. And here's why. They're a real okay. Why do you think it's going to be a shootout? Texans have the number. Was it 3 defense or whatever it is? Look, Texans are without 5 starters from last week. Yes, they're bringing in on the defensive side. Lassiter. We can go through them. Lassiter, Fotokasi, Mario Edwards, Azeez Al-Shaair, and Henry To'oto'o. 5 starters on your defense probably are not going to play. So there's one. You know, and Jimmy Ward maybe 6.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Ward. So that right there tells you. Ooh, Jordan Love, that running game. They're gonna move the ball on the Texans. As much as I hate to say it, I mean, this is what we're here for, right? The secondary took a hit. Interior defense took a hit. And I'm not sure. The other part of that, I'm not sure Texans fans have an appreciation for just how good Jaden Reed has been as a receiver. That dude is a stud. He is a stud.
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing about the way that their offense is built. I think they have a particular one where there's not a number one wide receiver that comes to mind.
Romeo Dobbs is right there with
them. They got a lot of fast guys, right? They got a lot of dudes with great speed, including Christian Watson, who's like, what, 6'4 or something, mm-hmm. and ran like a 4'3 something nonsense.
Yeah.
He's had some drop issues last year, but, you know, he's still like, he's a big fast guy. You mentioned Romeo Dobbs mm-hmm. and, of course, Jaden Reed. None of those guys, I think, you point to as like, oh, that is the guy that you shift your game plan
around.
But all of them are decidedly good options for a quarterback. And I think that kind of overlays nicely, unfortunately for your Texans, with what this defense is, where we've talked about this defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. We talked about this secondary. You've got a guy in Derek Stingley that at least at times, I think a lot of people will look at him as borderline, if not shut down safety.
Yeah.
Or not safety, cornerback, right? Like he has that kind of high level play.
Mm-hmm.
He is that level player. Cool. Outside of that, especially without Kamari Lassiter, who has held his own, like especially without the veteran mm-hmm. savvy that Jimmy Ward brings to the table, you have a lot of guys who I don't know that you feel incredible about every single guy having any kind of matchup.
Yeah.
And so a day like that for Matt LaFleur calling the offense and the quarterback, Jordan Love, they can now attack different parts of what you have. Like, yep. It ends up being not necessarily about strengths, but in that way, kind of about weaknesses when you get to this, to a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's potential to pick at the weaknesses in this defense, which could allow them to throw the
ball. Not only that, they have maybe the best young tight end in the NFL right now.
Tucker Kraft. And that's considering that they lost Luke Musgrave, right? Like, exactly. That guy's another good tight end that they typically have that you don't have to see this.
You'll know these names by Sunday, folks. They're really good. And that doesn't mean I think the Texans are going to get run out. I'll explain why I think it's going to be a shootout from the Texans' perspective. But keep in mind, you know, as good as Neville Hewitt has been, as much as you expect from the other linebacker, Jake...
Hanson.
I don't know why I drew a blank there, but they can't cover. That's their weak point, you know. So the tight end Tucker Kraft behind those linebackers with maybe a safety covering him, the Packers are going to score a lot of points. Now, oh no, you're saying the Texans are going to lose? No, I'm saying it's going to be a shootout, because keep in mind the Packers defense is 25th in passing yards per game.
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting is also because of missing Nico Collins, it seems like in situations, we talked about Xavier Hutchinson coming in, it seems like they'll kind of use a little bit of two tight end sets in maybe what they're doing here as well, where mm-hmm. you make sure you get Schultz and Stover on the field at times. And even if they don't do that, kind of you'll see some condensed kind of sets as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if that will allow them to kind of tighten the field and then utilize and allow Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell to get off in their regard, right? And get different personnel groupings on the field defensively for the Packers and then go and utilize the speed that you have and the capabilities to take advantage of them. So I do think that there's a possibility of having that happen as well. And I continue to wait. And I always feel bad about this because, I feel like I'm accentuating the negative in ways that I probably don't always want to. But I'm still feel like I'm holding on for this offense to play at a way that is like
all the
way up to the standard that we know that they are capable of simply with all of the pieces that they have and with some of the things that we've already seen.
No, yeah, and that's why I think, you know, with them ranking in yards per game 25th, the C.J. Stroud and those receivers are going to have a chance. And while the Packers are good against the run, Mixon and Pierce are both going to be healthy. And the line, if you listen to Bobby Slowick, is coming off a good game as well.
Yeah, it's always, anytime you get a good player back, you know, it's always helpful for sure. I would say he made some really good plays in that game and would love to see that continue every game if we could. But the other thing that really jumped off in the last game was we really blocked well up front. You know, we had great intent. We were on the details of what we had to do. We were moving people that we needed to move. And that's New England's historically a very tough scheme. And our guys up front did a really good job to give Joe and Damian some daylight.
It's gonna be a shootout.
Yeah,
By the way, to answer your first question, Texans can absolutely win a shootout because of those things I just said. But also, shootouts tend to come down to who's the most clutch quarterback. Well, these are two good ones, so I think it's kind of a toss up there. You know, last possession kind of thing or fourth quarter kind of thing. I like CJ Stroud's odds.
And then on top of that, right, you then come back around, and one of the things that I listed as kind of a possible benefit for the Packers could in some ways be viewed as an advantage for the Texans late in games, which is sometimes a game comes down to y'all know where we're going, we know where we're going, what y'all going to do about it. And if you look at pass catching wise, who constitutes that the most in the entirety of this game?
Mm-hmm.
Does that not sound a lot like what Stephon Diggs is?
Yes.
Like, why you go and get that guy, even in the absence of Nico Collins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I could easily see a situation as I fantasize about this game where you're in a late game situation, you need to go get down the field, and Stephon Diggs, by hook or by crook, no matter what the coverage is, gets himself in a great play. We've seen him run incredible routes. We've mm-hmm. seen him find his way to being open no matter what else is happening. I think that is obviously a huge benefit in what happens here. And that allows me to ask this question here, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe Stephon Diggs in what he says here?
And that is?
So Stephon Diggs obviously he's been around the league and mm-hmm. he's had other instances and other relationships, other battles, so on and so forth in this league.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I hope you do. we were just talking about this. The idea of the battle that is, or the beef that was between...
Is.
Okay.
Is
we'll take from the audio. Stephon Diggs and Jaire Alexander. Clearly, they were in-division rivals for a period of time when Stephon Diggs was in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then even a couple years ago, you saw a level of battle between them when Diggs was in Buffalo.
He's a little boy.
we could play that audio too, but Stephon Diggs was asked about this and like, does he look forward to competing with Jaire Alexander?
I can say yeah, but it's no different than I approach any other week. I'm not going out there trying to prove nothing. I ain't trying to prove each and every other week, every play, every day. You know, try to earn it during the week in practice. You know, get on the same pace as my quarterback. I don't really get into all that extra shit.
Yeah.
Except he does. Except he does, as video evidence would show you. It does mean a little more. But here's the thing. I'm not worried about Stephon Diggs. I think these are the moments that he always tends to live for. I think he's going to be fine. And now that he is truly, sort of leading the way as a receiver, I think he's going to have a terrific game. Now that I'm not worried about. For me, certain players have to step up, though, for this to be the kind of shootout that can lead to the Texans winning. I really believe the Texans won't win this game unless Dalton Schultz steps up.
Has to. That's one of the places that's kind of beautiful in this game because the Packers have had a weakness there. That's one of the matchup situations that's great here. The Packers have not covered tight ends, opposing tight ends well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this ends up being a wonderful opportunity for, I guess, some level of redemption. And maybe, I know some people have said maybe it's been overstated, the drops, because there was one that you really point to that was his fault. I personally agree, at least, that interception that was in the end zone was less upon him than it was upon your quarterback in that instance. And you know, CJ's going to take responsibility for those things regardless of if it is fully his fault or not. If he has some level of hand in it, he's going to accept responsibility for it in the maturity that he shows.
Yeah.
But Dalton Schultz, I think we can easily at least say that this does not feel like he has fully been able to get into what's happening, even if you just look at the statistics or the caliber or the quality of play using the eyes test.
This presents
an opportunity to kind of get into that flow early.
My thing with Dalton Schultz is even if you just eliminate the drops or supposed drops, he still needs to step up. Like forget last week. You know, just his up and down nature, this season. Even if you forget the drops, I feel in this game, with this opponent, on the road, with that quarterback and that offense, Dalton Schultz has to step up. I also feel, and this sounds a little bit, maybe a little counterintuitive because he's been more than fine, but I think Tank Dell, needs to maybe make that big, big Tank Dell play that we've seen. You know, that game-breaking type play that he's been close on. A couple of times. Well, these are the games where you got to be more than close. You know, you got to make that big play that breaks the game open. And then the last one for me, we thought it was going to happen last week. But I think you have to have Xavier Hutchinson make some plays. I'm not talking seven catches. But, with Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell and, getting all that attention, Xavier Hutchinson has to do something. Has to have some plays that move the sticks or something like that.
I think that's interesting. I think I'm less on the Xavier Hutchinson, not saying that he was going to be completely ignored from this, but as far as like how important it is to all of this, and I mean, I don't want to overstate that portion of it, but like, yeah, I would like him to make some plays, but I'm still leaning more towards like the Dalton Schultz of it, especially when you consider last week, it felt like they tried to go deep with him a little bit more than I was particularly expecting. So I'm with you there. Tank Dell, I gave you kind of the EPA efficiency stats of how he has been significantly reduced from what he is last year. And of course, you don't need efficiency stats to tell that. Anybody who watched a little bit of football this year can kind of see the difference in distinction in the ways in which there's clearly more on the bone for him. I think those are the places where you talk about the players that are stars and players that are, significant role players. Those are the guys that you expect to kind of show up. Plus, the reason why I don't lean too heavily on Xavier Hutchinson is I think that if you can get more of a balanced run game wise, which Bobby Slowick spoke to as you play to, like, I think that will help you a lot as well, being able to tote that ball. And then the explosive play possibility and potential that Joe Mixon brings with his individual brilliance paired on top of the good blocking that I think happened last week. If you return that, I think that will be plenty to give your offense more of the illustrious look that we expect from them and maybe more than what we've seen from them.
Yeah, on these guys, especially Hutchinson and to a lesser degree Schultz, I'm not expecting for them to have that huge game. What I'm expecting is to be an option, and that's what they need, is to be an option to keep a drive alive or something along those lines, and that's where I think they need to step up. The other thing about this game, why Texans fans, it might be one of those where you're you go from oh no to yes, 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 because I could easily see, you know, just back and forth and getting down two scores and then catching up. And then, you know, this is going to be a fun game. I mean, it's going to be a fun game. Just everything points to it.
Yeah. One more thing I'll mention when it comes to the shootout aspect of this is if you're throwing the ball a lot and if you're getting, you know, those deep shots that I know CJ loves to uncork, understanding that this is a turnover defense that you're going up against.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to ignore the defenses within this, right? That's a team that has turned the ball over very well over the last, I mean, for the start of the season entirely. Are you capable or are you
to
keep yours? And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Can you be that turnover defense that we're hoping, especially with all the moving pieces that you are
making? And we saw some hints of that already recently. If they become, we talked about it on Monday, if they become a defense that all of a sudden starts getting these turnovers in bunches, as we talked about Will Anderson getting sacks in bunches, if they start getting that, then it changes. The other thing that I think kind of feeds into the whole shootout aspect, perfect weather.
Like, oh yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, what a blessing
sunny,
that you get to have them
here. 70s
week seven as opposed to like week 17 is just such a blessing.
Perfect.
I can't imagine. I really do hate the notion of like football weather. I understand that's something
I do too.
That a lot of people. I'm just like, no, give me the opportunity and the conditions that allow these dudes to play the highest level of football. I don't want to see this muck and mess just because they out here slipping and sliding and running to each other. Yeah, no, I'd rather see them play in this environment. And of course, that's great for this offense.
Yeah, football weather is 50s and 60s to me, not 20s and snow. that's football weather to me, but
the
this
frozen
is
tundra.
this is gonna be fun.
Really excited for that as we get going here on a Football Friday in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Of course, always get involved on the text line 713-572-4610, where someone asked, you think it's good that they get to see more of these guys early in the season? Hanson, Ross, Khalil Davis, Settle, those kind of guys. Could you maybe see it in that perspective
in this game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because nothing is going to be a real surprise for them, except, you know, how much are you going to get out of, and we'll talk about this today and we'll talk about it on Monday, I'm sure, what you're going to get out of Danico Autry, you know. So, yeah, I think it does help having that experience.
Yeah. I know that Matt Burke kind of talked a lot about that a lot as well, the defense coordinator. So we'll get that maybe in about an hour here in the Loop. But coming up next, what a night of sports, or was it? What did you take part in? What did you enjoy? Let's revisit some of that as we keep going in the Loop.
Houston, let's get in the Loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the Loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, yeah. You're in the Loop. Sports Radio 610 here on a Football Friday. We are moving very quickly towards Texans, Packers, what should be a fascinating, fascinating football game for your 5-1 Houston Texans up at Lambeau Field. But you always, always cover here on Sports Radio 610. Noon kickoff, 9 a.m. pregame. Sean and Seth got you covered. Postgame with Sean and Clint, they got you covered as well after the game. This is the place to be. It's where your Texans play, Sports Radio 610. All right. Well, again, appreciate Byron Matthews being in for Figgy Fig, who is moving.
Mm-hmm.
So all the good vibes, all the positive thoughts, and
boy, he needs them.
Yeah, he needs them. he already sent out a distress tweet talking about how moving.
How do you do this?
Yeah, moving is tough. So all the love to our guy Figgy Fig as he is getting into the new crib. But yeah, myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with John Lopez on a Football Friday, and let's go back a day to a wonderful Thursday where the sports ended up being very interesting. I did not use the word good necessarily all the way around, but very, very interesting.
Hey, you did earlier
in a matter of degree. Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. It was. I think there was some fun stuff, or maybe that's just my fear of missing out happening because I didn't watch any of this live. Mm-hmm. I was very fortunate to be at an event. For the fact, the author that we talked to yesterday,
or
was Mirren Fader, 2 days ago, Mirren Fader, who wrote the book on Hakeem Olajuwon that just came out. She did a you know, in person interview and signing
at Brazos Bookstore, good
Brazos
place.
Bookstore, yep, in Houston, and so did that. Went after, got to meet Coach Bear, Duff, Doc Silva, some folks that were know on and around that Houston Cougars program. Around the time that Clyde and Hakeem and Fi Slamma Jamma were there. So that was really cool to get to meet those folks. But, of course, that took me away from watching some of these games. Some of that good, some of that bad. Let's start with the good that I missed, which is apparently Thursday Night Football was a little bit of a stinker, huh?
Woo! Did you say good? Did you say good?
It was good. It was good that I did not have to watch this, man. I guess, live. In some ways, 33-10 was ultimately the final score in Sean Payton's victory, his return to the Superdome. And it didn't even look this good early on, because at half it was like 7-6.
It was later when it was 16-3 or whatever it was. Anyway, you know what?
Or at least as it was nearing half, it ended up being 16-3 at the half. So it was like, as you neared that, you did not have a high score, and then of course the Broncos just opened that thing up.
Yeah.
In the second half.
You know what I thought about? Two things, and in a weird way, I thought about the Dallas Cowboys.
Huh?
The Saints.
By the way, put
them.
A dollar in the helmet.
No, not me. The Saints ran them, and the Saints are awful. Like, the Saints are so bad. Like, they're beyond bad. So I was thinking about that, and then like the Saints have nowhere to go. They've given out all these contracts to Carr. I mean, just go down the list. And they're already over the cap, and they're going to be over the cap next year. And these guys are long term deals. Like, the Saints might end up being the worst organization in football for the next 2 or 3 years.
But here's the thing about that, because I hear you, and you're not wrong in the fact that, hey man, their cap situation not good. They just keep being in this terrible cap situation.
That's like, the problem.
That is where they play the meanest game of kick can that I've ever seen. Like, they just keep. They've been in cap hell for like a decade straight.
Yes.
And they keep making this happen. They just signed Derek Carr, like not necessarily the quarterback I would have signed, but they did go and get a big free agent quarterback in that instance. Like, they managed to keep happening this, which I guess is a salute due to their capologist. But yeah, they're in a bad way where they're not going to be able to really clear space for a while, except if there was one team that I'm not going to make a big deal about, it's the Saints. They'll find a way to make this keep happening. Now, I do wonder if they'll be able to ever be any good, because it seems like they just don't elevate what they have there, as, I guess, somewhat evidenced by Spencer Rattler, although I don't know how much I could put that on the team itself. Seems like the Spencer Rattler thing is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
They pressured the mess out of him, and he delivered 172 yards, 4.9 yards per attempt, 6 sacks, and no noticeable touchdowns or interceptions. It was just a very blasé day from the quarterback, Spencer Rattler. He even had Jake Haener come in and look just a little bit better on 4 passes than he had been over the entirety of this thing.
They're an absolute mess, but it's only going to get worse, what you're saying. Because I got to credit my former co-host on this, because he really put the numbers to paper here. They're $75 million over the cap next year. And when he texted, I was like, wow, I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. It was a fun game to start with.
If you're not involved in any way,
no, at the beginning, you had Drew Brees getting the crowd all riled up.
Before the game. Like,
literally, then you had Sean Payton getting welcomed and all that, and then it just turned into a bloody mess.
Was it full welcome? Was it like smattering of booze in there? Mm-hmm. Or just
no? It was. It seemed like, to me anyway. I wasn't there, but it seemed like it from the television.
Good
broadcast.
For them. Hope they had fun. The Broncos get a win in an okay Bo Nix day. Seems like they were just able to run the ball. Javonte Williams. Yeah. Had 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. So salute to all the fantasy team owners that have Javonte Williams on their team. 33-10 was Thursday Night Football, and yet another one that we could just put behind us and never think about again.
Man, thank goodness.
So there was that happening. But also at the same time, big time baseball was happening.
Yep.
And it seems like the Yankees have themselves a series. It seemed like they might have early on, like they were just a different level of team. Mm-hmm. Than Cleveland, although we said that maybe Cleveland was doing more losing of this series thus far than the Yankees winning it. Well, they definitely did some winning that last night. They went to the bottom of the ninth. They were down. They needed some runs, and a big play happened here.
Ooh, several.
And, yes, I guess several. But yeah. I want to start in the bottom of the ninth, where Jonkensie Noel steps to the plate, and they need a run here. They need some runs here, and Noel delivers.
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre! ¡Qué bárbaro! ¡Qué monstruo!
Se puso la Navidad y no ha nevado todavía. Lo que cayó fue la explosión que le dijo ustedes si se envasaba Ney Thomas. Algo iba a pasar. La puso chiquitita. Jonkensie Noel gozando se empate este partido. Le dijo ustedes que esto no se ha acabado. Todavía una gran oportunidad.
¿Qué clase de palo, mi gente?
They put the sauce on it. And if you can't tell, that is the Spanish call.
I think it was.
I needed it to be that. What's hilarious is that he starts getting to the Feliz Navidad. And I was like, wait, what is that? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. His last name is Noel, right? Like, I was like, oh,
beautiful. Beautiful.
A beautiful way of, like, adding to what was an incredible moment for the Guardians in there, tying the game up at 5 runs apiece. So shout out to John Kennedy and Noel. And the fireworks were not done yet because David Fry, in the bottom of the 10th, gave them the opportunity to do this.
In game 3, Fry, deep drive, left field, Fry's watching, it is a walk-off home run! David Fry lights up the Cleveland night!
Don't sleep on the Yankees crashing.
Ah, I was about to say, I was like, what do you mean?
Crashing.
They lead 2-1, but yeah, man. If the Guardians,
they got Astro'd.
Oh.
They got Astro'd. No, it's in their heads. I mean, it's got to be in their heads. They've been down this road.
I like what you're doing, but I don't like that you're calling it Astro'd, even though I understand what you're doing. I'd like it, but I don't know how to feel quite.
I mean, how many times have you seen Altuve? I mean, just go down the list. Just ripping the heart out of the Yankees. If that's not in their heads, they're not human.
Oh, that's going to be fun as this continues.
You would think that cruise control, even though they lost, right? Nope.
You would think.
Nope.
So, yeah, that series, it just feels like that the way that it ended in particular made that one so much more interesting in a way where it was starting to fade in my mind. Where
Big
I was
like, Christmas.
All right, here we go. Yeah, that's right. Big Christmas.
That's what they
Put
call
it. Put some respect
him.
On his name. John Kensi Noel. But, yeah, I'm back in on that series
for
in
sure.
a big way.
For sure.
I thought we were just going to careen towards Dodgers-Yankees and we'd be done there. Dodgers did handle their business against the Mets 3-1, and that one does look like that one might
Ohtani
be.
Is doing Ohtani
things,
man.
Yeah, he is finding his
this is what I wanted to see.
All right, and then one more thing on the day, and you go, what do you mean one more thing on the day? Those are the major ones.
Yeah, I did do that.
Rockets in their final game of the preseason. Jalen Green heard us talking bleep, and he's like, oh, word? That man went nuts against the Spurs. Now, admittedly, the Spurs did not start Wembanyama. There is a lot of kind of bench guys during the course of this. But the reason why I bring this up was we were just talking about Jalen Green and what he has to do this season to maybe find or at least display the qualities of being capable of being a star and maybe making that extension more of a viability towards the end of the season. He hit 7 3-pointers in this game.
He sure did.
Like, he obviously scored a whole bunch of points, but it's the third-level scoring that I found to be incredible. Consistent shot-making, if that happens, that shifts a lot of what happens for him this
season. Well, it changes the whole dynamic, but I will say, you know, we send each other notes or put them down on the dock or whatever before the show, and then, you know, on the morning of the show, I kind of scroll, and I'm scrolling, and I say Thursday Night Football, because the headline for this, that just to pull the curtain back, that Reggie did was, what a night of sports! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Thursday Night Football. Yeah, man. We just talked about that. Championship Series. Yeah, we just talked about those. Jalen Green goes off, and I put, wait, what?
Yeah. wait, I said what I said.
Jalen Green goes off.
I said what I said. 7 of 13 from 3, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, which free throws, but 30 points.
The Spurs have 5 starters. They didn't start any of them.
That's right. But, I mean, again, like, as much as you can take away from the other portion,
no, I know.
The shooting was the eye-opener for me. Knocking out 7 threes, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That bodes well. Give me more of that,
it does.
And I'll feel a lot better.
But I was just scrolling, wait, preseason, no starters? Although, from the Rockets' perspective, you can call something out of it. They did have their rotation, 10-man rotation. And, you know, they had some guys that seemed to contribute beyond Jalen Green. So, yeah. Now, you can pull that up, but I was just like, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Yeah, and our guy Adam Spillane, also mentioned how, you know, Udoka had Moore, Shepherd, and Thompson as the first two off the bench.
Yeah.
And then Adams and Easton came in afterwards, but then also about 3 minutes with Fred VanVleet and the reserves. So, like, you're starting to get a feel for some of the ways that Udoka might be kind of trying
to
overlap things
and
get some feel for it. So
excited
now to see them get into regular season play when it actually matters and see what it begins to look like for your Rockets.
Tuesday?
In the season. Wednesday. Tuesday's the start of the season, but Rockets opener is Wednesday versus the Hornets. All right. You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's get into the question of the day. Inspired by a guy, Figgy Fig, who is moving.
It's going to be a good one.
He is having a tough day because moving is never fun unless you have the money to pay everybody else to do all of the things. And so with that being the case, what are some of the other bad or maybe even worse days of adulthood like having to move? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Let us know what you think. We'll discuss that all next. Oh, yeah. You are in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig today because Fig is doing one of them things that seemingly all adults do. And hopefully, if you're fortunate, you do a minimal amount of times in your life, which is moving. Figgy Fig, we're very proud of our guy. Got himself a house. Got himself a fly fridge. And
the fridge, I got to lay eyes on this fridge, man.
I don't know why this has become such
a big
deal.
Got the screen on it. You play video games, watch, listen to us.
I like that we're messing around, but eventually we're going to make him have to like do funny stuff with this fridge.
Oh, for sure.
Can you plug in the PlayStation to the fridge? Is that possible? Anyways, no, he's got himself a house, but today is the moving day, man. He's got the boxes and in the truck and he's got the movers and all of that and he's already feeling it. It is not an easy day when you have to move unless you're one of those people that are independently wealthy and you're just like, hey, I will pay someone to pack this up, move it, unpack, and I don't have to look at it. Let me tell you, radio ain't that lucrative. And so shout out to our guy Fig, but they got us thinking, what are some of the other of those like tough,
the worst day of being an adult?
Yeah, those days where you're just like, oh, these are the days that I wish I was not an adult. Why can't somebody else be an adult for me? And moving obviously is the first one for me.
Is it top three?
It's
gotta be, right?
Because I think there's the physical aspects of it. There's the executive function aspects of it of like, man, I got to remember to do this, remember to do that, and like all that kind of planning. But I think there's also the emotional aspects of it, especially if you're moving, if it's like a big change.
Yeah.
Right. Not just like our apartment to house, which I think is a change as well. Mm-hmm. But if you're moving cities and those types of things, I think there's a lot of other things that then come with that as well. So yeah, moving ends up being
and
rough.
And then you're just dragging your ass all day long, like, oh, I gotta do this. You're just dragging your way through the day.
You gotta go change your address on all the damn stuff. You gotta remember all the things that you need to change your address on.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
So what's your worst day of being an adult, people?
I don't know if this is the absolute worst, but it's one of the things that, funny enough for me, it doesn't hit me a lot, but I know it hits a lot of other people, and so I will speak for others in this instance than for myself, which is jury duty.
Yes. Jury duty is one where you're like, ugh, I guess I'm an adult.
you know, you gotta take off work. You gotta go.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people. I saw a friend of mine on Instagram recently was like trying to think of the ways to make sure I don't get picked. And I was never in that boat. And thankfully, I have not been picked. I'm gonna be completely honest. I don't want my sequester. I don't want to be sequestered and all that type of stuff. But yeah, like all of that thought and just being in that sterile room where you're just sitting waiting. Not having anything that you can do.
It's the worst. Let me give you guys a couple that popped to mind. And then one came across the text board where I went, top three, maybe number one. But mine that came to mind were moving day, of course, tax day. Remember that first time you have to do your own income taxes? You remember that? Now, sometimes it's easy because you just do the 10, whatever, 40, the easy one. But once you start getting into adulthood and you have to start deducting things and using tax, TurboTax and all
this
other stuff.
Why does our tax code look like this? Maybe some of y'all CPAs or whatever can let me know. Because like the whole idea that we're like...
You get all the receipts and it's the worst.
Government's like, hey, man, you owe us money. And you're like, okay, how much? I'll pay you. And they're like, nope, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Want to see if you got it right. And if you don't, we're coming for you.
Yeah. And then the other one, when you get a little older, it's not so much the procedure. That didn't get me. It's the idea of it's time to have this procedure. Colonoscopy day. Colonoscopy day is more mental than anything.
Yeah, where you're like okay.
I'm old. I got to get a colonoscopy.
Like you have bona fide milestone that proves that you're old. Yeah. You are medically old.
Yes.
The doctor's like, hey, man.
That's a good way to put it. Medicine says you're old.
Yeah, we need to come in and check on you, man. We're not sure that you're holding up all right. Let's check the dipstick and see if everything's
exactly.
cool, man. Like, yeah, that's tough. That is tough. Some other things that have come through, just being solely financially independent and no longer getting help from like parents or grandparents. Yeah, and that happens at different ages for various folks.
Yeah.
Whenever that hits, and you know, not a lot of places that you could turn to and ask for. You have to be fully responsible for all these things. Yeah, that gets to being tough. Someone said the jury duty is indeed top three. All right, glum days of adult. I mentioned jury duty. I think this is the one that you agreed with, and multiple people said this. 281 said first and last kid going off to college, and 832 said dropping off your firstborn at college. That was very hard to do. I remember how crazy college was.
One of the hardest days of my life.
Really?
Like, it is, you think you're going to handle it. You prepare for it mentally. You go and you have a happy face and you're packing them up in their dorm or their apartment or whatever. And you're, hey, you know, and you give them a hug. I cried, like bawling crying, like ugly crying, as they say, for all three of my kids.
Wow.
But I didn't do it. Fortunately, I didn't do it until the drive home.
You okay. Know,
yeah.
So they could have. You, yeah. They didn't have to deal
like,
with
hey,
that as well.
Yeah, all good. Yeah. And then I get in the car.
713 got to one of the ones that I absolutely thought of. You know that day where you got to buy all the tires?
Yeah. That was me a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
I was happy to do it. I was happy to do it. I was like,
where
Dad,
are you?
No, because I needed new tires.
No, of course. Yeah. It's not the tires themselves.
It's like, damn. Dad's not going to buy my tires.
It's the hit when you got, especially when you got to get not just one, not just a pair, but you know when you got to get the set?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right, cool. I'm not eating tonight. Yeah. Like, it changes the way that you view your... Yeah. Like, I don't care how much you... Well, I care how much you make. Yeah. But, like, I feel like no matter what, you're like, damn, they cost that much?
Yeah. It's like, it's a lot of money. You know, you reminded me of one, though, Byron. Your first fender bender.
That is a stressful situation.
When you don't call mom and dad.
Everybody
and
like, knows the first fender bender, right?
You remember your first fender bender, and you're like, I got to do all this. I got to get the insurance. Show them the insurance. I got to call the cops. We got to figure this out. I got to get the repairs, all that stuff. Like, your first fender bender is traumatic.
My first fender bender was actually, I was backing out, and I was a rookie driver, and I actually scraped my dad's door on his Benz. And so... He was watering the grass, and I could see his head turn, where he's like, he's trying to make sure everything's fine, but I know mentally he's like, oh, what did he just do? But it wasn't a bad scratch, but he still brings that up to this
scratch.
Day.
It was a bad scratch. Any scratch is a bad scratch.
There's so many car things coming in. That check engine light comes on. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's never a good day.
Oh, losing your wallet.
Oh, boy. Especially if you are...
I got to get a license. Got to call a credit card company.
And if you're not careful, you might keep some more important things than you should in your wallet. And now you're like, ooh, how do I even get another copy of that? Right? Yeah. Like, now we're having to do research on where to go to get some of these things. Mm-hmm. Some more of the worst days of adulthood as we continue to salute our guy Figgy Fig as he moves into his house. This is first house, right?
First house.
First house, man. That's huge. I just lost it as I was about to set it up. They said having to attend a wedding because you got to go and you got to RSVP.
That's a good one.
You got to get sometimes you got to get new wardrobe. You got to buy a gift. You got to make sure you get the right gift with the right amount of money.
Yep.
It's not too much, but it's not too little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of anxiety. And then, God forbid, it's a destination trip.
Oh, Lord. Well, then don't go. but that's just me. What about like when you're a professional for the first time in your life? And I remember this vividly. And you know, you're all excited and you're doing your job and you're working and all that. And then they have that, hey, the boss is having a little get-together. And it's probably good advice for you to go. And you're like, I don't want to go. But you got to. That must go to event. You're like,
The one I thought employment-wise was not that. I thought the first time you get fired.
Well, I'll let you know.
Oh, good for you. right. Like, I think the first time you get fired, you're like, oh, man. And like, because I think we're all in a place where like, clearly you do not want to get fired. And I think the first time you get fired, you're like, okay, it happens. Life moves on.
Yeah.
But like after that. But the first time you're like, oh, man.
Yeah. I'm a miserable human being.
What's going to happen?
I'm awful at life.
Now, now we are going to turn to the first 15 minutes of the movie Up and hit you in the feels.
Mm-hmm.
Someone texted in and said, the day I had to take the car keys from my dad.
Because
that is not only your mortality, is your parents' mortality, is you begin to see like what does the future hold and am I going to have to be here alone? And then some people just said making funeral arrangements as well, whether it's, you know, making them just in general or making them particularly for like your parents and that type of stuff where you're doing mourning, but you also have to be the responsible person in that moment. I salute the people that have had to do that. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's an awful lot. I remember with my dad very vividly. I feel like there's a lot of levels to this one from the 281, that levels that we probably don't want to get into. The first day you get transferred to a new prison.
Did they say prison or position?
Prison.
Oh.
The first day you get transferred to a new prison.
Well, I mean, I'm certain that's... Well, look, that's... I imagine, like very other, like businesses, right, like companies, and I understand that I am really taking a shot on making this metaphor work. Go with me, like companies. Everyone has its own different culture.
Yes,
everyone
exactly.
has its own different rules. Everyone has its different feel. Like, you done figured out your first cell block, right? Now here you go.
Like, it's another one. Me to so-and-so?
Different people. Different. Now you gotta go with the flow.
Yeah.
You gotta find a way to make it work. So, yeah, I imagine that is also tough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had not considered the other side because I guess I've never been a manager in that way. First time you have to lay people off. Yeah, that's...
I never wanted to have to do that. Unfortunately, I don't think I ever will. That would be awful.
This should not be in the worst adult situations, worst days of being an adult. 281, going to your friend's kid's birthday party, some of them just aren't fun.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Jammy on the YouTube said, I never realized how much I was going to hate adulting, or I realized how much I was going to hate adulting the first time I had to buy my own toilet paper. Is it just like the small detail things that now you have to keep up?
That's,
like the various balls in the air that you have to keep up while also doing the big things?
But see, I think sometimes that can be refreshing. Like, I remember, I mean, mine was way back in college. You know, I got an apartment and, hey, I got to go to the grocery store. You mean I can buy whatever I want? You know, as opposed to, you know, your mom or someone else, you know?
Like, yeah, but it's not it can buy whatever I want. It's like, damn, I have to buy this
all
the time.
Yeah, there is that.
Or like, this has to be bought if I want to be able to, you know, wipe my keister. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I respect that a lot. Yeah, what are some of the other worst days of being an adult? Because I feel like it's definitely...
Moving is up there.
I don't know if it's a one seed, but it's up there, man. Like, it's top five for sure. And our guy Figgy is going through that right today on this Football Friday. First time hosting for the holidays. Good answer.
Oh, that is a good one. The pressure
good answer.
Is unreal.
And then also, these people don't care about your house.
No, but the pressure you have, because like, especially if, you know, your significant other is probably going to be, you know, stressing. You're going to be stressing, trying to make sure everything's right. Yeah, no, that's buying my own Costco membership. That's underrated. Like, you used to mooch off of mom and dad on their Costco.
Yeah
now you got to get your own.
Just again, being responsible for all your stuff, paying
yeah.
bills and rent, all that. Yeah, man. And they don't never give you a discount. Man, I've been on time with this rent for so many years in a row. I can't get one off? No? Okay. But shout out to Fig moving into his first house today, as a big day of adulthood. But I know he is going through it. So shout out to our guy. All right, you're in the loop. On Sports Radio 610, let's get back to the Football Friday of it all and get into around the NFL, where I know Lopez is going to be happy as one guy clears concussion protocol, but can that give us a little bit of insight into the Texans? We'll talk about that and more next.